Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and today, wow, it's Friday. You excited about the weekend? I know here in the Pacific Northwest we are. The sun is actually shining. Woohoo! Can't ask for better than that. But we're going to be talking about something that I think is going to make you feel very good about this day and about your weekend. It's a great way to lead into it. We're going to be talking about alphatudes, A-L-P-H-A-T-U-D-E-F. The alphabet of gratitude. We have a delightful lady, Michelle Walder, who is with us, and we're going to be chatting about this alphatude of gratitude. Michelle, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. Great to be here today on Friday afternoon, end of the week. It's wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's a delight. Now, Michelle, you've done so much radio and television, and you have worked internationally. You're a career counselor, you do your speaking, but you decided you were going to found a company called Life Possibilities, and you've been involved with all kinds of different things. You're in Dallas, Texas. Tell us about how you decided to put this company together, and how did you link up with Olivia Newton-John?
Well, both great questions. Well, first with the company, Life Possibilities, I started that about 10 years ago and really began it because I wanted to have a company that helped people reach their highest vision of themselves and their career, their relationships, and just in their general lives. And, you know, we all need help getting to where we want to be in life. You know, no one ever makes it alone.
That's
what I do.
Mm-hmm. That is the truth. Now, Olivia Newton-John, along with your book, by the way, this would make a great Mother's Day gift, folks. You have a CD that was done by Olivia Newton-John on grace and gratitude. So tell us about this. How did the two of you connect?
Well, it was interesting. When I guess back in 2000 and... I don't remember, it was early 2000s, I had was recovering from breast cancer, and I loved her. I've always loved Olivia, and I was listening to some of her songs on thankfulness and spirituality, and actually in 2005, I think that was when it was released, was the Grace and Gratitude CD.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so many years later, when I was thinking of the topic of gratitude and, you know, wanting to write the book Alphatudes, I thought back to the songs that really helped heal me and lift me during that time. And so I just, on a lark, I just said, you know what? I'm going to send her a letter and send her a book, an advanced reader copy, and just see if she would endorse my book.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I sent out, you know, letters to a lot of different people, and a lot of different people didn't respond. So
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was used to some rejection, you know, some famous authors and things, and you know, some replied, some didn't. So one day I get a call from her agent, and he said, we got your book, and Olivia wanted me to call you. She fell in love with it, and she would like to talk with you about doing a cross-promotion.
Wow.
Yes, that's how it began. And I went mm-hmm. screaming to my fiancé, was this a joke? Oh, I love her. I can't believe she called.
Oh, that's so cute.
And
I
so then we went forward, and he said she would like to give you the song Grace and Gratitude with the purchase of every book.
Wow.
Yes, I was flabbergasted. Talk about the title of the book, you know, being grateful.
Mm-hmm.
I was so grateful. It was outside of what I had, just over and above what I had ever expected.
I love how you came up with the concept of your book. It was when you couldn't sleep. I just thought that was charming. I really like that because I think that happens with a lot of people. They're having, an insomnia moment, and they go, oh, what am I going to do? And it brought to mind the old song by Perry Como, when you are worried and you can't sleep, count your blessings instead of sheep. And so those lyrics popped into my mind when I started reading your book. And that song, when did that song come out? That came out a long time ago.
I don't know. But now that you mentioned it, I'm definitely going to have to get it.
Yes. I mean, it's absolutely, of course, Perry Como is one of these magical voices. And when he sings it, it's just absolutely amazing. So this is something, again, that just was running through my head when I was reading your preface of your book. And you found when you started writing down just the things you were grateful for, it's amazing how long the list gets, and you ended up going to sleep.
Right. I did. When I first started, I was thinking of things, apples and things that I'm grateful for. Mm-hmm. The book evolved into concepts and things that we as humans get to experience. But my first take at Altitudes in the Night was just, things and people that I was grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
And what I tried to do was, instead of just going through a rote list, I'm grateful for apples, I'm grateful for bananas, or, I'm mentioning fruit today for some reason. But with apples, I would think of, I'm so fortunate. I have, 10 different types. I mean, you can go into Whole Foods or a market, and, I have 10, 12 different types of apples to pick from. And, the people who stock the apples, so I could just run over to the grocery store and get it, and the farmers who planted those, and the people who pick them. So that the feeling would actually come up rather than it just being
intellectual.
Exactly.
I think that the feeling has such a profound effect. It's one thing to sit there, I'm grateful. But it's really when you think about what it is that enables you, just like what we're doing today, being able to chat, and anybody and everybody can listen in to the program from an iPod to their computer. I mean, it's just amazing what we're able to do and how we're able to communicate with other people. And I'm just talking about this tiny, tiny little segment of technology. It has taken so long for it to get here. So when you went through this backtracking, I think that it is good because you have to acknowledge all of those steps that enables us to experience, like you're saying, having a choice of 10 apples in a store, 10 different types, and so many take it for granted, and they don't realize that nobody's just waving a magic wand and it's there. One of the things that you bring out in your introduction in your book is that so many times to be happy, we will say, well, if only, and blah, 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 if only I were, 4 inches less than the hips, then I would be happy, or we'd do such and such. And this is such a good point. Because if you cannot be happy in your own skin, right where you are, present, you may have all of these wonderful things go on, and all of a sudden you've got it, and you go, why is it I'm not happy? Because it's something you have to do on the inside. It's great having external results. But you bring that point up, and what was a big aha for you in recognizing that in a thinking pattern?
Well, a lot of it came up. I mean, of course, I've had that experience before in my life where I've reached for something, I've attained it, and suddenly it didn't seem like enough and off to the next goal. So with my clients, that happens quite a bit. They'll be talking about, when I get a new house or that next job or, then I'll be able to be happy and relaxed. Well, the problem is with that, it's very much like you said. When we get that, there is always a next goal. There's always something else pulling us to strive forward, and there's nothing wrong with striving for more. I mean, I think things that are meaningful that you want to strive for, make the world a better place, living on purpose, and accomplishing great things, I'm all about that. But when we get those things, when I wrote the book and I first got the book in my hands, I was like, all that striving and writing for years and, Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, it'll be so good when it's there. But I love the process of writing, and I love the process of creating this.
Mm-hmm.
So it was wonderful to see the book, but that's not what I was waiting for. It was a culmination of a lot of wonderful things that happened, and that's what I try to help people with. Enjoy where you are, and when you get to the end, that attainment, it'll even be sweeter.
Mm-hmm. I really think so. And then we always need to remember that life is a journey, and it's the journeying that gives us something to talk about. If it was just add water, mix, and you've got it, you go, okay, now let's. I need another glass of water, I need another mix, and I need another stir. And that would be
right.
That would not be very exciting.
Right.
That
right.
would be dull and boring. I mean, after all, what would we have to complain about? We've got to always have something to complain about. I mean, let's be honest here. We have to do it. When you say choosing gratitude, and I really believe in this, because I think if you can be grateful for the small things in life, you can appreciate the big things and everything in between. And when you don't have that attitude of gratitude, if you have an attitude of entitlement, you miss out somehow. There's no joy. And you
right.
walk around with a life like, gee, I'm owed this. So it really, gratitude really does give you, I think, a mindful presence with
mm-hmm.
where you are. Now, you talk about how when we do practice gratitude, it makes us happier. Tell us how you find this makes a difference with you and with your students and people that you've interacted with.
Well, it makes us happier because we're present to all the things that we already have. When we're not in gratitude or in a sense of always wanting things, we're in a state of scarcity that we don't have enough.
Mm-hmm.
When we notice everything that we have and what's around us and all the bounty and abundance in our lives, we can actually let that sink in and feel that deep sense of joy and warmth that comes from gratitude. Because it's only when we're living in, I don't have enough, I'm not enough, I'm not going to get enough, that we live in this, you know, grabbing sense of I'm not enough and, you know, I may never get it, and happiness is out there when I do. So it's always an illusion of the next step.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is when we sit back and we live in the now, see, gratitude is about living in right now. I can see, you know, I have my lovely dog laying on the, you know, on the ground. I have a wonderful place to sit right now. I'm having a delightful conversation with you. Just really sinking into the moment is
mm-hmm.
where life happens.
That's right. And being observant, I think so many times there can be such a simple thing as just noticing a lilac on a bush or watching a bird balance itself precariously, at least in my view, on the very top of a branch, and it's not even bending the branch. It's there in perfect
mm-hmm.
balance. And I look at that and I think, could I do that? I don't know. I certainly weigh a lot more than the bird does. And that branch probably wouldn't hold me up, but you see so many things in life, and
yeah.
it's a stimulus for ideas. Now, I just think that there is so much when we can do this, even if we're in the most difficult of situations, scary situations, if we can just detach enough and be grateful for whatever we do have around us. It sort of gives us that balance that we need to get us through whatever we need to get through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is a reservoir of sustenance that we can draw from. Because if something bad happens and you don't have anything in your reservoir or your well, you know, to draw from, then you're really sinking. But if you can be present and yet detached, and detached enough to see what is good, because there's rarely a situation where everything in life is bad. We can choose to
mm-hmm.
view it that way, but there's usually some saving graces, some blessings, some things of wonderment, even in a terrible situation.
You know, some people would call you Pollyannish when you make that kind of They say, my dear, you're just Pollyannish. That's all there is to it. You just don't have a grip on reality. Now, what would you say to people when they'd say that to you?
Well, I always say, Pollyanna lived a great life.
I agree.
Pollyanna was so happy. And Pollyanna, you know, it's funny. She brought up a whole town with her optimism.
Yes,
and, you know, I think that's the difference between gratitude isn't saying that I'm not going to be realistic and look at the things that need improving, at the things that I want in my life. It's actually a balancer. It's saying I'm not going to be blindly optimistic, but I'm not going to be totally negative and pessimistic. I'm going to look for the good and the blessings and the gifts, even because that is going to help my sense of health and my sense of my outlook. You know, because we're responsible for our own outlook, our well-being, and our actions.
Mm-hmm.
No one else is responsible for that. So it's important to remember that there's always a choice. And, you know, it's not like I have it. I mean, I've been divorced. I've had my mother die. I've had, you know, breast cancer. I mean, I've had some really terrible things. Like, I mean, a lot of people have had, you know, setbacks and pain. And in those times, was I always happy or was I always grateful? No. But when I had the ability to step back, that's actually how my gratitude process started, Donna. Mm-hmm. I was in the middle of chemotherapy, and I was just so depressed, and I just really felt at the end of my rope. I had lost my job. I had found out my boyfriend was cheating on me, and I just thought, I don't even know if I can go on. I was really feeling desperate and just depressed. And so I started to write down a list of everything I couldn't do and what was wrong on one side of the paper. On the other side of the paper, I wrote down everything I could do and what was right about my life. Well, when I finished, I looked, I was like, oh, I can talk with friends. I can go outside. I can play with my dog. I can read. I can pray. I can, you know, look for jobs. You know, I mean, I started, and the list was so long. And what I did was I just tore off the other part, and I started focusing on what I could control and what was there for me. And it helped lift me out of where I was.
Wow. That's just very inspiring. I want to touch on a couple of the points in your book. Now, your illustrations in this book are just vibrant with color. They're exquisite. And you have one on beauty. Of course, it's A to Z, and you've got something for each letter of the alphabet. But I love the quote by Khalil Gibran. Beauty is not in the face. Beauty is a light in the heart. And mm-hmm. I think that that is so true. I have to share a quick story with you relative to this. I used to work at an insurance agency, and I will never forget all of us that were in the primary office were females. And so often with women, there's this chitty-chitty-chat-chat-chat that goes on. And they were talking about beauty, and they happened to bring up a woman who is married to a very, very wealthy man. And I remember the comment of one of the gals saying, oh, my God, what did he see in her? She's got the face of an ugly horse. And, you know, you just hear these remarks, and you don't know what kind of image to conjure up. But one of the gals there said, she may not have looks, but I got news for you. She's got a wonderful sense of humor, and they have been married for like 40 years, and they are so happy, and he loves her dearly, and she loves him. She said, so what if she doesn't look like Marilyn Monroe? She's got something that made that man happy and made both of them happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, isn't it interesting how that image that you're supposed to be beautiful, well, we're indoctrinated that way, but what is beauty? And what he saw with this woman that he married, maybe physically, she would have been considered very homely by most. But he saw beyond that, and he saw the beauty in her heart and was very rich because of that. And there were people that would go around and say, we don't understand it. We don't understand it. But I always thought that was such a hoot. They never looked beyond what they could see with their eyes.
Wow.
And I think it's really a wonderful illustration of how we don't look and we don't observe and we don't take the time. But it's very human. It's a very human patterning. So I wanted to share that with you because that is something, not choice.
Hey, yes.
Choices. Choice, it's choice, not chance, that determines your destiny. Gene Nidek, the founder of Weight Watchers International. My goodness, what a
yes.
Now, why did you choose Gene's quote?
Well, I really was looking for a way to help people feel empowered by choices, because many times people say to me, oh, I can't leave my job, I can't leave my marriage, I can't, you know, do mm-hmm. this, or I can't mm-hmm. do that. And I always say, you know, maybe you could change that to, I could do that if I wanted to, but I'm choosing not to.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really more of a choice. The other way, you're a victim in your own life.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could if you wanted to. And I felt like when she said it's choice, not chance, that determines our destiny, she had been there and she knew what it took for people to lose weight
mm-hmm.
and for people to make choices. And that's an actual physical thing that people can see by the choices you make. And
well,
I just thought it was beautiful.
She's a marvelous example in my mind's eye, because she is just a woman that walked her walk and didn't talk just talk. She really walked the walk. And I think people like that really make a difference. Now, let's talk about the letter D, dreams. Oh, I so believe in dreams. And you used Karen Raven and her quote, only as high as I reach can I grow. Only as far as I seek can I go. Only as deep as I look can I see, only as much as I dream can I be. That is an exquisite quote.
I know. Isn't she wonderful?
She's great. Now, with dream, this is something that you say it provides us infinite power. How do you perceive that so?
Yeah, I mean, dreams really do offer us this infinite potential into a world outside of black and white and outside of the box. Because when we really allow ourselves to dream and to think of solutions and possibilities that might not exist right now, we actually don't just help ourselves. We actually help all of mankind. You know, in the book, I write that, you know, Martin Luther King demonstrated just how immensely powerful our dreams are when we have the courage to follow them,
mm-hmm.
and that they can impact humanity long after we leave this lifetime. So I always encourage people to be receptive to their daydreams and you know, what they think could be possible for their life, and to give up the judge and the censor. And, you know, we can look at this realistically, and if you want to be a ballerina but you have flat feet like me,
mm-hmm.
that may not be realistic. But you know what? If you allow yourself to dream, maybe there's something about movement. Maybe there's something about expressing yourself physically that you need to look at. There's never a waste in dreaming.
That is true. And take up tap dancing. Get an arch support and go for it.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, you brought up Martin Luther King, and you used one of his quotes. Even if I knew that tomorrow the world would go to pieces, I would still plant my apple tree. And I so agree with that. I
mm-hmm.
can remember growing up around people that would say, oh, why bother? You know, just no, it's not going to make any difference. Don't do this. And I think of a story of a woman, and she's in California, and I believe she planted, it was either tulips or daffodils. And there's a place that you go to that literally, during the spring, the ground for acres is covered with these beautiful flowers. They come out, and it's just a flower valley that is unparalleled. And people said, how in the world did you do it? Because she was one woman. And she said, I did it one bulb at a time.
That's great.
And that's what she did. So she, like Martin Luther King, she says, I'm going to plant the bulb. Maybe I can't do 500 in a day, but I can do one.
Right.
And she did it for years, and today people are enjoying this magnificent garden of flowers. Imagination, the letter I, boy, I think it is needed so much, and I think when we put ourselves in boxes and forget that the imagination is there to utilize, we forget the freedom that we have with our minds that we need to employ.
Mm-hmm.
And your artistry in this book is beautiful. Who did your illustrations and photos?
Well, I had a whole team of people. Different people did different parts of it. The cover and the layout of the book was done by GKS Creative,
mm-hmm.
and they did a fabulous job.
They really did.
I mean,
this is wonderful. It's a feast for the eyes, and it's a kind of book that if you wanted to you know, read it, just one letter a night, what a wonderful planting in the subconscious you would make. Like for the letter M, you used the word music.
Yes.
Why did you choose music?
Well, you know, I mean, the subtitle of the book is 26 Solutions for Life's Little Challenges.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was choosing the words for this, you know, I was thinking, what is it that can help with life's challenges? And many times I turn to music.
Mm-hmm.
I just think music has a way of bypassing the conscious mind and touching us in a way that words and logic can't ever get to. So, I mean, if I want to feel more uplifted, sometimes I'll put on something just really happening and rocking to help me, you know, get more energy. Or if I'm feeling a little more soulful or sad, sometimes I want a music to mimic that and just help me go deeper into that reflective place.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I chose music. I mean, it's been very important in my life.
Well, you also have for the letter N the word now, and Eckhart Tolle, I know many of my listeners are aware of him, he's quite a philosopher. You used a quote from him saying, there never was a time when your life was not now, nor will there ever be. And those are very powerful words. They convey an image into the mind, into the self, that there's nothing that's a waste. We're part of this wonderful, wonderful, magnificent universe. And your title on the page is, I am grateful for now, and I'm going to read at the bottom of the page. It says, I live fully in the now. I embrace the sacredness of each and every precious moment. I now choose to be keenly aware of and fascinated by life. And you have with each of the letters an affirmative meditation, and or you could call it a prayer, that goes along with each letter. And I think this would be great even to share with children. Because they, if you shared something like this as a family or as a couple with someone and maybe either started a day with it or ended your day with it, whatever you would choose, you'd go through. Think of it. You'd have 26 days to revitalize your life.
Yes. Yes. You know, and that's what that has been so delighting to me, I guess, if that's a word, is that I've had families that have said that they've done that.
Mm-hmm.
And they've used it, or that they've taken it in the car and played games. Like, you know, they start off with what I've written, and then they start making up their own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are 26 things? You know, what are 26 colors that we can be grateful for, and why? Why is that one of your favorite colors? Or I think it really is a wonderful way. And the reason I chose the alphabet is because there's so many self-help books and there's so much out there that has formulas and a lot of black and white text. I really wanted something that was simple, that didn't add stress to people's lives, that was easily implemented, and it was simple enough to pick out a page and just to feel better about the day or look at a beautiful illustration and feel uplifted.
Well, I'll tell you, and I know we're just about out of time, but the artistry in here is so wonderful. It's just very, very uplifting. And I think that for any of you, if you wanted to give a beautiful gift to that very special mom in your life, I would strongly encourage this book, Alphatudes, because I think there isn't a woman around that wouldn't appreciate having something of beauty, something that she could use when she's under stress, or just give the gift of the awareness and the thoughtful words that come with Alphatudes, the alphabet of gratitude. Now, Michelle, do you have a website that people can go to?
I do. My website is alphatudes.com, www.alphatudes.com for the book. And for my coaching, life and career coaching, it's lifepossibilities.com.
Lifepossibilities.com. Or Alphatudes, and that's Alphatudes.
Yeah.
Michelle, it's been absolutely a delight. Oh, and don't forget, folks, you're going to have access to the music of Grace and Gratitude by Olivia Newton-John. So be sure and check that out as well. It's wonderful. Michelle, thank you for being my guest. It has been absolutely delightful having you. Michelle Walder is my guest, and her last name is spelled W-A-H-L-D-E-R. If you want to look it up on the web, but go to Life Possibilities or Alphatudes, and you will find a lot of good stuff there. And don't forget Mother's Day. It's just around the corner. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Hello and welcome back. This is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are now open, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me, here's the toll-free worldwide number you can call in to, and that is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, for those of you that have had experiences with the paranormal, I don't care if it's animal communication, dealing with ghosts, anything that for you was a very unique and special experience, won't you send me your story? I'm putting together a book. I'm compiling 100 stories by individuals like yourself, and I am going to be putting them in a file, and my goal is to, within a year, have 100, maybe over 100 stories that I'll be able to submit for a book regarding paranormal with the everyday individual, and I would love to hear from you. So if you'd like to send me your story, be sure you put in the subject line of the email, Donna's book, or put the Donna Sebo show, put something in there that lets me know that you're a listener and you're responding to this, and then put your story in the email and be sure to put your contact information there because it's going to go into a file and we will want to be able to contact you and let you know when the book is finally published. Also, I wanted to make you aware of the fact that tomorrow, if you do not know of this right now, tomorrow I'm going to be live on Achieve Radio with Bill Schneider, and we are going to be doing a program called Super Psychics, and I've been invited back. This is my third or fourth time, and I'm really pleased to have been invited to the show. So we have 2 hours tomorrow, Pacific time, 4 to 6. You go to AchieveRadio.com and you will hear us live, and there's going to be plenty of opportunity to call in. So all of that information will be on the AchieveRadio.com site. So tell your friends because We will be doing that tomorrow afternoon. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. All I need is your first name or initial. After that, I'll tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you're interested in. Were you aware that today is Arbor Day? Well, I really wasn't until just the day before yesterday. I came across the information, so I thought I would share it with you because I love trees. You can't live in the Pacific Northwest and not be in love with trees, because that is what makes this part of the country so absolutely gorgeous, one of the many things. And with the population growth, a lot of the forested areas are gone, but trees are so vital. You know, with CO2, all we'd have to do is plant a gazillion trees, and a lot of the concerns that so many people have would be gone. Why? Because trees thrive on CO2. But in so many areas, we've cut them down, we've replaced the tree sections with concrete. We need to realize that trees give a lot of strength, stamina, and support to our environmental system. Now, the Arbor Day Foundation offers special Give a Tree greeting cards, both via regular mail and email. Now, you can donate $5.95, and they'll send the card and plant a tree in honor of the recipient. Now, where you go to get more information on this is arborday.org, arborday.org. Now, if you become a member of Arbor, the Arbor Day Foundation, it's a $10 fee. They'll send you send you 10 free 6-inch to 12-inch flowering trees, and we'll plant 10 more in your honor. That $10 is really going to go a long way. Also, the Arbor Day Foundation will give tiny baby trees that can be used as party favors or sent directly as gifts for $2 apiece. Trees are so very, very important. And depending on where you live in the country or in the world, it makes a difference, the type of tree. So be sure you check about what is going to work best for your area. There are deciduous trees. There's all kinds of variants, but your soil, the amount of waterfall you get, all of these things make a very, very great deal, you know, makes a big deal of difference. So you want to be sure that you find out what is going to be appropriate for you and your area. But anyway, that's about Arbor Day, which is today. Now, I have been sent some absolutely wonderful information that I must share with you. Never feel that you cannot make a difference. There is a wonderful woman. Her name is Madonna Hanna. She works for Bremerton High School. I became acquainted with Madonna about, I'd say 8 years ago. This is a classy lady by all measures, and she loves working with special ed students. And how I became acquainted with her is that she wanted me to be one of the master of ceremonies at a particular modeling show that was being done with these students, and it was part of the way that they were able to raise money. But it also was a good way to teach the young people how to walk, how to groom themselves, how to be prepared, because she said so many kids today just don't know how to do this. They're not taught at home, and the schools don't have programs on etiquette and things like this. So she incorporated this into her teaching program, and the difference in the kids is just amazing, because she sets the bar high, and they love it. They just love being involved in the modeling performance. Well, she did something else. It was quite extraordinary. She started in her school, which had some pretty rambunctious groups within it. She started a Bremerton Students Dare Not to Swear program. And I just received an email. So if you know of any high schools that are having problems with kids, you might find that this is a program that they need to be aware of. Now, this started, I'm trying to remember exactly when it was. I think it was about 4 years ago. And she said, this is really important. And do you know what? She introduced it to her students. She didn't take responsibility for making it happen. It was the students themselves that said, we like this. We're tired of the swearing. We're tired of the cussing. The students themselves picked up the momentum with this and have been going strong. She sent me an article by Erin Hommel. This was in the Sportsmanship magazine for high schools, and it's National Federation of High School Publications, Communications Department. And Hommel is a junior at Franklin, Indiana College, and he's majoring in journalism. And this is what he said. He said, teams, coaches, cheerleaders, and students were wearing the DNTS wristbands in order to raise awareness of the problem. And, of course, that is the abbreviation for Dare Not to Swear. Now, the football players on both sides were wearing temporary tattoos that sported the DNTS logo. And both of the teams entered the field by running through specially made banners that were 15 feet wide by 10 feet tall and made of the anti-swearing logo. And both schools that were playing in this particular game even had anti-swearing pep rallies the day before the game. Now, Madonna Hanna said, we even have a DNTS chant. It's probably the only anti-swearing chant in the country, which is the truth. And this is this is exceptionally important because there was a freshman cheerleader, Ashley Weber. She was on the sidelines, and she was on the sidelines because she had a bad knee injury, but she was watching how everybody in the stands was reacting to this huge banner of Dare Not to Swear, and it was just absolutely wonderful. And this young lady said, a lot of people were wearing the wristbands. They take Dare Not to Swear so seriously here in Bremerton. Whenever someone swears, it's not a second later someone will say, dare not to swear. Now, this is all being done by young people. Isn't it marvelous? So Madonna started with, just has evolved, the community of Bremerton has become involved with the program, and besides area businesses that have donated money and have just been absolutely supportive of this advertising, of this dare not to swear, there's a candy shop in Bremerton that had a special contest for students to participate in the Oh Fudge Dare Not to Swear contest. And do you know what? The students, it was a contest where the students entered fudge recipes for the local candy shop in Bremerton to try. And the best flavor, the candy shop sold at the store to help raise money for the kids. And it was a combo mousse flavor that won the contest. And a single person, one person, bought all of that fudge from the store. And they also had held a coloring contest for the elementary schools in the district as well. And the school district has found a way to promote the usage of positive words while not having to use money from already tight budgets. And this Dare Not to Swear program is being supported by private grants. And this year it has a sponsor in Skills USA, which is a United States career and technical student organization serving more than 300,000 high school and college students and professional members enrolled in training programs in technical, skilled, and service occupations to present a skilled workforce for the United States. And Madonna said, the program is catching on and has evolved since we first started. With Skills USA helping us out this year, we have the ability to continue raising awareness that the use of inappropriate language at school activities is unacceptable. Dare not to swear. It's just that simple. So type in dare not to swear. If you have had an environment in schools or other things that are so frustrating to you, just remember, dare not to swear. Madonna Hanna started this. One woman presenting a concept to students and students saying, we want this. Now, that is positive. Look at how many negative statements are said about young people. These young people are totally responsible for making this successful. And Madonna Hanna is there at the rudder making sure that things come along. But the adults are excited, the kids are excited, and the result is wonderful. Have you ever passed a group of kids and you wish you had a big bar of soap and you could just put it in their mouths? Yeah. Well, this works even more effectively because their peer groups make a difference. And that is significant. So I wanted to share that with you. That just came to me in an email. And also, I know I'm getting ready to go on break. I received an absolutely awesome story from a woman named Nancy Lynn. Nancy Lynn has just had a horrific battle with fibromyalgia, with just so many things. This woman has suffered physically. When I first met her 3 years ago, it was unbelievable what she was going through. She had to use an electrical scooter to get around. She was barely able to function and move. Her exhaustion level was just phenomenal. I want to read you. She gave me permission to share her letter with you. I want you to know about a woman's journey and how today she is a new person and enjoying wellness in a way you would never have imagined. So that story when we come back. This is Donna Sebo. If you'd like to chat with me as well, 888-815-9756. We're going to be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. Now, before I tell you the story of Nancy Lynn, I want to let you know that my guest list for next week, we're going to be talking with Natalie Tinti, Sewing a Friendship, on Monday. This is a real, real interesting, how can I say it? It's a woman's journey that I think you might find very touching. Then we're going to be talking with a super coach, Michael Neal. He's got some great tips on how to move up your life and shake it into place. And then in Moms Go, where angels fear to tread, of course, we've got Mother's Day coming in a week from Sunday. Joan Anderson, who's a repeat guest. She's such a lovely woman, and I just think her material is terrific. So this is all about moms. It's for moms, just in time for Mother's Day. And then Dare to Wear Your Soul on the Outside, Gloria Burgess. So many people go through extraordinary journeys, and Gloria's gone through hers. And so she challenges fear in a wonderful way. And cryptozoology, do you know what it is? Hey, I'm not going to tell you. You're going to have to listen in to find out about it. Dina Budd is the gal that's going to give us the lowdown on cryptozoology. That and much, much more is going to be coming up during the month of May, and I look forward to sharing it all with you. We've got some wonderful musicians, too, by the way, that are going to be coming online with us. Okay, this is a letter from a lady, Nancy Lynn, and as I mentioned before we went on break, I've known Nancy for about 4 years, and before I really knew anything about her, I even met her, I can remember hearing someone talk about how much difficulty she was having physically. And she decided that she needed to write a letter to her sons. And so she sent it to me, and I asked her if I had permission to share it. She said, absolutely, because I think people need to know that everyone has their own journey. So this is hers. And she said, Dear Corey and Dylan, those are the names of her sons, she said, I've decided to write you about some things I've learned about myself and HS. You know, I've had this illness for years and years. I've tried many treatments with no success. You've seen me recently become healthier and happier than I've ever been, and I want to explain some of why I think this has happened. I know you think I'm going to talk about the anti-inflammatory diet, going gluten-free, dairy-free, etc., or about using sacred healing clay, or about my remarkable work with Laura at Network Chiropractic. However, these were all the results and revelations of something far more extraordinary. Actually, it really isn't that remarkable when I think about it now. My health and happiness came about when I realized that most of life is illusion. This may sound impossible to believe, but when I realized that the manifestation of my disease was simply a dream and an illusion of what I thought I was in this world, and I realized, truly recognized, that I was and am so much more, I was able to set aside the dream and make up a new dream. I did not do this alone. I had to do this with God. You've seen me attend church all of your life, and I'm not sure you truly understand what it meant to me. It was the time I set aside to educate myself about my relationship with my higher power, which I call God. I read a lot of books, went to classes, talked with like-minded individuals, and questioned everything. The class that helped me the most was A Course in Miracles. It helped me to make sense of this illusionary world and why I'm here and what I'm here for. Even with so much pain in my body, I began to recognize the truth of who I am love, and so are you. When I came to this realization that I'm love and that God loves me and the only reason I'm here is to be happy, it changed everything. I came to this realization when I finally gave up. I gave up on being angry, being sad, being resentful, being disappointed, being afraid. I surrendered all that to God and asked Him to take me. I gave up my body, I gave up my mind, my heart, and my soul. I asked that I be taken dead or alive to change me and make me what I should be. I only asked to be happy. Then I got very quiet. I waited in silence for an answer. But I heard nothing. Nothing but silence. Weeks passed and I said the same prayer repeatedly. My body continued to break out with painful sores. I read Eckhart Tolle's book, A New Earth, and the part about pain body really made sense. I began to see that the pain body was crying for attention. In quietness, I began to see that I was love, and if I was to be happy, I needed to love more. Someone in my life who's very wise once told me, if you want change, you must begin with yourself. So I turned to the pain body in one instant and said, I'm sorry, I haven't paid you enough attention. You deserve better from me. I love you, and I want you to be happy. I cannot keep doing all the things you ask me to do and continue to endure all of this pain. There are things that will change, but it is because I love you and I want to be happy. There is a power greater than you that I will listen to now, and I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I felt a great deal of peace. Soon after that, I began to listen to my higher power even more all the time. The first thing I was told was, quit your job. That's all, just quit your job. I asked, how is that possible? And I was told, let me worry about that. It seemed crazy, but it did all work out. I began to eat differently. I'd go to the store and hold food and ask, is this something I should eat? My answer came immediately, and it was never wrong. I began to eliminate all sorts of foods, alcohol, and even people from my life that were not in alignment with my happiness. I find myself doing all sorts of things to help my body be well that I never thought possible before. This is my personal journey, and what has changed me and worked for me may only be for me, I don't know. I don't ever want you to think that I know all the answers for you. I can only tell you what has worked for me. My point is that there are many things that occurred for me to achieve a greater wellness. I believe that with any illness, not just HS, that at the core of this manifestation is fear. The opposite of fear is love. God is love. I am love. You are love. We covered over with fear and we have pain, illness, and illusion. If you want to be well and happy, know the truth of who you are. Know that you are a divine being of God, perfect and whole. Know that you're on a sacred journey to discover the truth of your being. Know that the ending is already assured and the path can be short or long, and that is your choice. I love you and I want you to be happy. However, like the wise one told me, you can only change you. What a wonderful life you've been given, and what a wonderful power you have to explore, because knowing this changes everything. It means you are free. You are not a body. You are free. Free as God created you to be. Much love and happiness to you now and always. Nancy. I think her story is powerful, and I hope it touched your mind and heart in a way that it touched mine. We all have our own journeys, and I'm so grateful that Nancy felt that she could share her story with me and wanted me to share it with you. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Have a magnificent day, and know that life is a choice. Go for the gusto. Have a fabulous weekend. Talk to you same place, same time, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.